headphones are working, which is nice. Welcome back. We are talking about some NBA so that you can hear my voice.
Andrew has something to say now.
Exactly. So
everyone listen up.
We wanted to take a second and kind of look at, we can lead into the Thunder since Russell Westbrook's return, which was literally the last time we were on air, are 0-3.
And yeah, not just 0-3, but one of those losses was to Cleveland. So
exactly. The, the first two, I was willing to give them a pass. It was the Heat.
Right,
the
Heat, 103-81.
The second was the
Clippers, 125-117.
Right. So another team that you would like to beat, but, you know, excusable losses.
That's exactly the term I was going to use. And, excusable loss.
Yeah, and then the...
No loss excusable, boys.
No...
None of them.
Not to the
out of my world.
Not to the Cavaliers, that's for sure. But
yeah, that's not excusable.
So my question to you is, Russell Westbrook, does he make them better?
It
seems like a ridiculous question, but I think it's fair to ask at this point.
I think absolutely. He's one of the top 10 players in the NBA. And if you don't have that on the court, you're worse. Simple fact.
Yeah, I refuse to believe that a team would be better off without a player like Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
I mean, even though they're 0-3 since he's been back, but he's still one of the best point guards in the game.
Mm.
He doesn't make them worse. Honestly, I haven't watched them play any of these games. I watched some of the Heat game last week.
Well,
but there's no way he makes them worse.
Yeah, I think the two things that have to be kept into consideration is that, number one, he's playing significantly less minutes because they're easing him back into the lineup. So he's playing like 20 minutes a game. And, you know, you're hard-pressed to say that that's what's making them lose. However, I'm not sure if he is going to make them better or if they're a better team when he's on the floor. But I do think that they need to be if they're going to win, at least win a championship. Because I think that you, regardless of if he is to win in the NBA right now, you need to have two superstars. And so you have to make that work. So, you know, their contention and being an actual contender relies on them making that work. And I don't think it's working right now, but I don't think that's cause for concern, and that's definitely not a reason to not play him or be like, we're better off without him. Because
when teams don't win championships, people start to try and find things wrong. But there's a reason you're knocking at the door and you're on the edge every single year. And it's probably not because one of your two best players is doing something wrong.
Yeah.
Okay? I would add around them. All people remember with Russell Westbrook is, you know, the missed jump shots that he takes. How about the 10 other things that he does during the course of a game? You know, he can score like probably no other point guard. His athleticism is off the charts. He's able to stay on the court. He can hit those jump shots. All right, he'll miss them, but he can make them as well. He plays very well off of Kevin Durant, takes the pressure off of him. You know, he helps that team in countless ways.
KD went for 28, like, 7-10 or something in their loss to Cleveland. So it's not like he's...
Durant doesn't have bad nights.
Right. Well, but I'm saying it's not like he has been worsened by Russell Westbrook's return. You know?
So yeah, like, it's not affecting him. Maybe it's affecting...
So that was a team loss.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that is because they're just struggling to get him back involved. I don't know if Reggie Jackson feels weird or like... You know, Reggie Jackson and Jeremy Lamb are like, oh, Russell Westbrook's back. Like, we can pull back and not kind of do the things we've been doing.
I like to quote this article from Zach Lowe. Do you guys read Zach Lowe?
Yeah,
Zach Lowe.
I love Zach Lowe.
Judging from my Twitter feed, this is during the Clippers Thunder game on Sunday. Okay. Judging from my Twitter feed, I assumed Westbrook had blown the game with four or five terrible jumpers as Durant stood wide open across the court. What actually happened? Durant missed the two bad late game jumpers. Other Westbrook-related things that happened in the last 6:28, a fantastic cross-court dime on a Derek Fisher three-pointer, similar pass to Reggie Jackson, who bricked the open three, assist on a Durant triple, an aborted hockey assist, quote-unquote, on a missed Durant three, which Westbrook rebounded and kicked to Durant for another miss. a game-tying three from Westbrook himself, a driving basket, and two other pick-and-roll dishes to Durant that led to Durant misses. With Westbrook, people only remember the two jump shots. I think that sums it up pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the Thunder are going to be fine. They're going to figure it out soon.
I'm not worried about them.
Oh, no, I also am inclined to think that they will be fine, but I do think it is something that they need to work out, and I think that because he's so ball dominant, it was obviously going to take a little bit to get used to the return of Russell Westbrook because, you know, in all sense of the word, Kevin Durant has been playing some of Russell Westbrook's game. And like, I know he's not playing point guard, but he was like the primary ball handler and the primary playmaker for a while. And now that's back to being Russell Westbrook kind of getting him shots. So,
yeah, scoring 40 a night, you're going to draw some attention to yourself.
It's only three games.
You just are. And, you know, now it's someone else's fault that you're not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, just not true. Just doesn't make any sense.
W's change everything, so.
610-660-1098. You want to chime in? Mm-hmm. I mean, sticking with the NBA, just a fun fact, Sixers lost every single one of their February games.
Hey, all right.
They don't play again until March 1st. They have lost 12 straight. 11 of those came in February. Last win was January 29th against the Celtics, a one-point victory. Their next game is Saturday, March 1st against the Wizards.
Wiz kids.
I believe that's the game they're retiring Iverson's jersey, I believe.
Really?
Because I'm looking here and it says tickets starting at $90.
Wow.
It's must a home be. Game. They must be. I'm almost
the Wizards fans are traveling up.
The next game, the next home game is March 8th against Utah, where tickets start at $15. Game against Sacramento on the 12th. Tickets start at $9.
Can you guys conceivably get first pick, or I mean, at least have the?
I think
conceivably. I think it's more than. Conceivable.
I mean the 25%, the highest.
Yeah, worst the record. Highest, the most probability.
It's that or the Bucks.
Worth three ahead of the Bucks.
Horrible.
If you lose an entire month of games, I'm going to say your chances are pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost 12 straight, like I said. The
Bucks are pretty bad, too.
I mean, we're three ahead of the Bucks. But, I mean, I'm picturing the Sixers ending with the worst record and getting the fourth pick.
Who do you want?
I could see that.
If we had the fourth right pick? Now. Oh, out of anyone.
I don't think you're getting Joel, but...
I don't want Embiid. I think Wiggins has a higher ceiling than Parker.
Agreed. But I think Parker comes in and makes an immediate impact.
I think Wiggins can too. Wiggins or Parker. Julius Randle's really good.
Dante Exum.
It's a good draft. It's a good draft to get screwed in the lottery, boys.
Yeah. We can go back to what I said last week. Maybe makes big free agents like Carmelo and LeBron want to come here, maybe?
No.
Dude.
Just like last week, still no.
Nerlens Noel, Jabari Parker, and some other first-round pick. Why would you not want to come join that team?
Because it's the 76ers, and they would still find a way to mess it up.
No, they wouldn't.
It's management. It's a young team.
Yeah, it's a young team. It's a team of young stars that these two guys can come in
young stars
and
is
mentor
a bit generous.
And win.
They wouldn't they win right away. Guys like that, they want to win now.
They would win
far
right
away from
if LeBron and
right
Carmelo
now.
Came here and joined those guys.
There's
they
better
would win
options.
Right away.
There's better options than Philadelphia for those guys because they have every option that they could possibly want. And
no place
ones.
Is better than Philadelphia. Nowhere,
anywhere.
Yeah, those guys could literally go in anywhere.
Like,
they
he's
wanted.
Like looking at that, and then he's going, or I could play with Chris Paul in Los Angeles. No. Boom. Not a contest.
Stupid.
There we go.
Los Angeles, they'd find a way to work
that's
that out.
Just dumb.
Could the Clippers get him and keep Griffin and Paul?
I think they'd have to get rid of Blake Griffin.
Yeah, I feel like they would have to.
Sign a trade. But that's been like really talked about.
Yeah.
That's not happening.
Stupid.
That's not happening.
I hate it.
I mean, the Heat don't want to just like lose him, though. So
I don't want this season, this historically, not this historically bad, but this like terrible season to be a waste.
I'm going back a little bit
because I'm like excited that they're so bad. I don't want them to just keep being bad.
Right.
They need to do something that's going to make them
good,
a contender, not just a playoff team. Because as we see this year, a playoff team in the East doesn't mean anything. No. It doesn't mean you're good. It
means you might be the Raptors.
I want them to be a contender.
You might have DeMar DeRozan.
You'll get your John Wall, Tim. Don't worry.
I want to like the NBA. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I can't get into it right now. Yeah. I just can't. And if the Sixers are good and they're like really good. Then I'll care.
It'll happen, but not this
These
year.
Things are cyclical. It'll turn around. And it would take a lot for the Sixers to screw this up.
Wasn't planning on talking about this, but okay. Have you guys heard of the amended draft where they would, to avoid just all tanking, you would have for the next 30 years, everything would be planned out with what pick you would have. So like it would just regardless of how good you are, yeah, like you would know when your
they would script it.
First round pick or your number That's one overall pick would be. And every
it changes every
it's done
year
this or? Way so it's like every 5 years you
yeah,
get
every
a
30
top
years or for 30 years
15 pick every 10 years you get a top 10 pick and every 15 years or every 15 years you get a
backwards.
Top 3 pick or something like that.
That's stupid. I
every,
hate it.
Every 20 years you get the number 1 overall pick.
I don't know. I think they should
it's
get
called, it's called the wheel.
I guess the draft lottery is to avoid tanking.
Yeah,
I hate the draft lottery.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Hang on.
If you want to tank, just tank. Who cares?
Do what you want.
Let the teams that want to win and know they have a chance play hard.
I say you start giving the NBA champions the first pick overall.
Hey, yeah.
Get better.
Just do it in reverse order.
Yeah, like fantasy leagues. I won last year. I got the first pick.
All right.
Oh,
yeah.
That's so how that works. I don't.
Oh, a lot of the. Yeah.
So ready?
No, we don't do that.
No?
Random every year.
If you have the first round, if you have the number one overall pick, the next year you have the 30th pick, the 19th, the 18th, the 7th, the 6th, the 25th, 23rd, 14th, 11th, 2, 29. It's done.
If anyone just tuned in, they're thinking you're like,
it's done. Yeah.
Saying the lottery number is the winning Powerball.
It is done in a
Fibonacci sequence.
Certain way that makes
about?
Sense.
Yeah, that, I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like change.
I won't lie.
Unless
it's
change.
Definitely better.
I kind of like it in that.
Your I team, don't like change unless it's definitely better.
Your team write that is, one down. No. Hear me out. Your team is always trying to win, regardless.
Yeah, the players are.
And
Sixers players are just awful.
If you are bad, yeah, the only problem is if you found yourself in a bad year. But at least every 10 years you're looking at it. In terms of you got a good pick. So my brother doesn't like it because he's like, what if, you know, you miss out on that number one overall pick and then you have a 30, 19 and 18 next year and you like just are horrible those years. But I just think it would encourage better GMing and you would always have
Gimming.
People
Jimming.
Trying to win. I don't know.
I want to read the starting five for the Sixers right now.
Please do that. Yeah,
Michael Carter Williams. We all know
we should
him.
Play Sixer starter or Inquirer writer or something like that.
Oh, that would be fun. Oh, I wish we had planned that. I can't just do it off the top of my head. But
or B-list actor. Or
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, Michael Carter Williams, James Anderson.
Yeah, I would have no idea.
Who?
Could be a soap star.
Thaddeus Young.
Yeah.
Henry Sims.
That could be anybody.
That could be anybody.
That could be someone from the 1800s.
Hollis Thompson.
Heard of him.
I don't know.
I don't remember from where.
Dude, that's their starting five.
But I have.
Hollis.
That's just
I feel
bad.
Like he Google was that. A mildly decent
Might have been
college,
college
player. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, I think you'd think of Hollis Thomas. That's,
am
a, that's
I
a person,
of,
right?
I don't know.
Is there? Are those different people? Hollis.
Are there
Hollis
two?
Thomas? Yeah, Hollis Thomas was an Eagle.
All right. That's why you know that.
Oh, this dude is
not good, right?
Oh, you know why he went to Georgetown. So Georgetown. I'm
okay.
familiar with him.
Yeah, he's the guy that got the deadline, I think.
Yeah.
So they got Sims too, actually.
Yeah, so he went to Georgetown. That's why I know who that is. Because he's
all right, let's play when will the Sixers win their next game?
Yes.
All right, I'm gonna
my favorite game.
I'm gonna
over
go
under.
Through the schedule. They host the Wizards. That's their next game.
Wizards like playing poorly against
the
poor
Iverson
teams.
Night. There'll be people there, so that might get them going.
Or scare them.
Oh, God.
James Anderson's like, I've never played in front of these many people ever.
Do. No, I don't think they win that game. March 2nd at Orlando.
Also winnable.
Very winnable.
So they have back-to-back winnable games. Then they could go to Oklahoma City where they're going to lose by 30 or 40.
Yes.
Then they come back and get the Jazz.
Also winnable.
I bet you the Thunder is the one they win.
Yeah, they'll lose to Washington, Orlando, and Utah, and they'll beat the Thunder. I mean, there's actually some winnable games. I said, let's play when will they win next. before I actually looked at it and saw that they can win some of these games. I hope they don't, but
I hope they continue.
But I mean, once they get through that,
yeah, I don't think my Lakers are winning ever again.
No,
probably not.
Let's say the Sixers, they lose to Washington, Orlando, Oklahoma City, Utah, the Knicks, Sacramento.
Let's hypothetically, say, well, it's never going to happen.
That might happen. Lose to all those teams. That's very impossible. But after that, Memphis, Indiana, Chicago, the Knicks, Chicago, San Antonio, Houston. That's brutal.
It's a very hard schedule.
I feel like once they're done with that, they're just going to be mentally done. Halfway through that, they're going to be mentally done.
That could push them into the one spot for the lottery. Yeah. That little stretch
that
right there.
That stretch right there.
Yep. Separate them from the Bucks.
That's another 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. That's another 8-game losing streak right there. Unless they beat the Knicks one of those times.
Yeah, the Knicks are pretty bad.
Yeah, that's another 8-game losing streak. So
averaging 10 points a game on 30 minutes.
James?
Stud.
Yeah, what a beast.
He's the future.
So he's a 3-year pro.
So he's kind of a young guy. I'm not going to pretend like I know these people.
You know, he's got a good inside game.
Henry,
or something.
Henry Sims.
I could fake it.
Double.
Yeah, no. I've never seen this guy in my life.
Maybe.
He's a center. Henry Sims.
He's a center.
2. If he walked 6. In here right now, I would have.
How are you averaging?
Hey, random guy.
3 rebounds per game. I'd be like, that's.
I think we should reach out to the Sixers PR and try to get one of these random guys on the show.
We definitely should.
I think they'd do it. If Henry Sims walked in here with, you know, 4 other, you know, black guys, I
have no idea who they are.
I wouldn't be able to separate. Oh, except for he's 7 feet tall.
Yeah, you'd be like, Henry Sims. He probably plays somewhere.
He'd stick
and
out.
You're like, don't stereotype. Let's go.
Did you want to talk about flopping?
Oh, yes.
I want to hear what you have to say, because you've been wanting to talk about this. Not on purpose, but I keep forgetting to talk about it.
Because I think that we just have very different views. I think that just the obsession with flopping and its problems in the NBA is just ridiculous to me.
Just explain what
because
flopping, because I feel like people might be thinking we're talking about tanking again.
Oh, okay, no, we're talking about flopping in faking a foul against you. So, and the NBA has had a new thing going on where they look at video and will fine players for pretending to get fouled or flopping. And my issue with that is that it is part of the game, and that you
disagreement.
I'm hyped already. And that there's two ways of handling that, and one way is to not call the foul. So if somebody tries to take a charge or flop, you just don't call it as the referee. That is your prerogative. You can be like, you know what? That wasn't a foul. You faked
the
that.
The flopper is doing his best to deceive the referee.
Agreed.
That is the point.
And that is a competitive advantage.
Flopping is why I don't like soccer. And I don't want it in my American basketball.
American basketball.
But like it or not, that's in everything. It's giving you a competitive advantage.
Not. Not
you,
to the level.
You need to work the officials of any sport.
Okay, but you don't need to fall down as if shot when no one even touches you.
Yeah, there's a difference between getting hit and falling to try to draw a foul, and there's a difference between that and the other side is nobody touching you, but someone's near you, so down you go.
But the second that I decide 3 plays in a row to not call that, and you've fallen and get them to either run a 5-on-4 or just an open layup, either coach is going to be like, you need to stop doing that because you're not getting the call, or you in general will be like, I need to stop doing that and play actual defense.
If it was that easy not to call it, the refs wouldn't call it.
Why don't they just play defense?
If they could see it, they would call it.
NBA, they don't play defense.
I think
the refs are saying, oh, he's flopping on purpose. Let me call this foul. I think that's ridiculous.
I think that some of them are so ridiculous that, I don't know why you're calling that. Especially that some of the LeBron ones.
It's hard to
ones.
See. I'm blanking here. In regular speed, in regular time, it's hard to see. It just is.
Yeah, there's a lot of that.
And the flopper, again, is trying to deceive the referee and make it as difficult as possible for him. And
anytime
it's already hard.
Anytime you drive to the lane and then yell, you're just drawing attention to the fact that you've been fouled.
Agreed.
Or even if you haven't been fouled, you yell. That's a verbal flop, and that's just part of the game.
I think verbal flopping's more acceptable than physical flopping.
And some of the, I mean, the just the way the guys look when they go down. I mean, you got 250-pound guys waving their arms in the air like they're doing a dance move or something. It just looks ridiculous. It's embarrassing.
Agreed. Another reason why it should be a natural deterrent from flopping.
Yeah. Maybe it should be.
You're making points for me. No, I obviously it
is. You're going to continue to get rewarded, and I don't think you should be. Do I flop?
Mm-hmm.
How do you mean?
Do I flop at all?
Do you flop in intramural games?
I don't think I have yet.
And why not?
Why not? I don't know.
Don't want to look ridiculous. Yeah,
and I just don't think to do it. Like, if I get hit and I fall, I fall. But no,
I'm okay with a bit of deception, all right? That's sort of the game that I play. The deception thing is fine. But the flopping, when I say flop, I'm picturing in my head a guy, you know, down like he's doing the boogie or something. You know, something like
ridiculous.
That. You shouldn't be rewarded for that.
This is going to be something that only we understand, but does Tim Diazio flop when he goes up for layups and falls?
Who knows?
Is that a flop?
That's a
because he goes down hard. Like,
absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, for our listeners, he's a short guy. He's our point guard. He drives in a lot.
Yeah,
goes up for the layup, gets a little bit. Yeah, James Harden beard goes up, gets a little bit of contact, just goes down, gets the foul call a lot,
and he gets the fouls.
I don't think that's flopping.
That's not flopping.
That's
selling the call a little.
Selling
bit. Not
contact.
Even selling.
I think it's selling contact. And I'm with Kevin because when I think of flopping, I think of someone like brushing
literally
by,
flopping.
Like you're faking everything.
Right, but the point where you're trying to make that distinction is just so small that I just think you can't.
It's not.
Sometimes it's pretty obvious.
It's not. And if
then how do they get the call? It's just like,
well, you're against looking at it on video after the fact, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's what you're against?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so
it's a human game.
What's wrong with that? Do you think?
Mistakes are made.
You think the ref screwed up? That's it? Is that what you're saying?
No, I think that's just the way it works. And you're being a good player. That is honestly as ridiculous as you look. And I'm like, that's annoying. But it's like, you know what? Good for you. You are giving your team a competitive advantage. And that's fine.
I just can't agree with it.
Like I said, it's what keeps me from enjoying soccer. Soccer
is different because they do those.
It is worse.
They do
it
the
is
injuries.
Worse. Oh yeah,
you
yeah.
Know?
No, it is worse. But
and I
don't know.
I guess the only one that I would actually see your guys' point is the faked getting hit when they come through with the elbow, which by the way you can't do anymore. So that's not a problem. You're not allowed to sweep with your elbows like that. But when people pretend to get hit in the face, I can see your point in that because you're still in your defensive position. But like, I think if you flop like if you're getting hit, and you don't get hit, then that's a layup, and that's a poor defensive possession on your part. Period.
Yeah,
Andrew knows about poor defensive possessions. Let me tell you,
that's mean.
I was gonna say I'm one of our better defenders.
He straps it down. I don't know. It's. It's just hard. I think we'd have to look at it case by case and see what we like and what we don't like.
It's hard to talk about in this topic. It's hard to police too in the league. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right, but okay. So let's rephrase this way. You would rather have them be fined, so that's how you're trying to get them to stop flopping.
If it's really obvious, I'm okay with the fine.
Yeah, I think for very egregious things, because I think the goal is to get it out, you know, hit the guys in the wallet, get it out of the game. That's what's going to motivate them is the money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think every time you see somebody start to flop in an egregious way, that's, you know, that's embarrassing your sport.
I just think it's always been a part of it. And
I want to see you flop in our next intramural game.
Yeah,
I'd love to see the scream.
Absolutely flop.
Just goes down
with the scream, hits the deck, stays on the floor. Okay.
About the NBA, when the players go down, they refuse to get up by themselves. You ever notice that? Unless a teammate comes over and helps them up, they're lay down there for as long as it takes.
But
those are big dudes.
That in my head is what is the only thing that's different. But the Tony Allen.
That has nothing to do with flopping. That was just another point.
Yeah. Just do you remember in the playoffs when Tony Allen tried to go for a dunk, got completely missed, nobody hit him, and then he just pretended he hit his head.
I don't remember that, but I believe
okay.
you.
That was a really bad one. But that is different in that that should have no... Like, that, honestly, other than being really annoying and stupid to watch, that should have no effect on the view of the call. Like, if you get hurt without getting hit, then that shouldn't have a problem, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's an interesting topic. I mean, it's one that I don't think they're ever going to be able to completely get out of the league.
I just think it's too hard to, you know, legitimately get out of the game.
I think it's going to be here to stay.
The players want that call in the moment. I think especially if you're trying to win,
I hope you are.
I hope you are.
I think both of them are trying to win, and if that's the way you're trying to win, then that's fine. And like,
you're going to get fined after the game too.
No, you're not thinking about that. I just think at the end of the day, what you're going to get is people like you two not liking you, and that's just one of those things. You know, you either play one way or you play the other way.
Bothers me.
Yeah. If me and Kevin don't like you, that's the problem. Yeah.
No, that is huge.
I mean, I don't know.
All right, let's go on a break. When we get back, the Hawks might maybe flying into the tournament.
Just might be.
Huh? All right, we'll talk about it when we return.
Go Hawk Field
Sports, Radio 1851.